This morning text is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. It says this, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's quite a simple statement. Most people will just sometimes just read through it and without thinking about it. Yeah, a couple of months ago when I was reading 1st and 2nd Peter, the epistles, I came to the end of this chapter 2, 2nd Peter chapter 3, and suddenly I was stunned by Peter's remark or his writing on this statement. It is often strange when you read the Word of God. Suddenly, sometime, the Holy Spirit jumped up at you and stunned you and hit you. And it sets me meditating and begin to think about this verse. What is so special about this verse? To me, I look at it now, there are three parts to this verse, to this statement. And then there is an overall part that covers all the three parts. So I will go bit by bit and explain what it means to me so that I can share with you what it means. The first part is the word grow, G-R-O-W. From my experience, there are two schools of thinking on this subject, grow. The Christians who belong to the first school of thinking, they said they believe that when one is born again or regenerated, they have arrived, meaning that they are a new creature and they have put on a new self and put off or discard the old self. Continually, they believe all grace from God is immediately imputed onto them, such as forgiveness of sins, salvation, holiness, sanctification, etc. All through the grace of God. And all they need to do is to live as a Christian should live and maintain it. They cannot contemplate nor accept the word grow. For them, it is just a matter of living out and maintaining all that grace that was given by God. In a sense, they are right to the point. But the second school of thought is yes, by grace we have received all that. But we must continue. Christian growth is not only necessary, but it is essential. So now you see the difference between the two schools of thought. One say that we just maintain it. No, the other one say no. You grow. There is a growth involved in it. I belong to the second school of thought. In Jesus' own teaching, he likened it to be a man who sows seed in the ground, and how while he sleep, the seed sprang up and starting to grow. Any of us who are gardeners or beginners gardeners about planting seeds and so on can clearly see and observe this mysterious activity of growth. A simple seed germinates and grows to a full plant. There's something very elusive in the very idea of growth. It is even more difficult to define growth. The New Testament is full of exhortation to Christians to perfect ourselves to godliness. It is this constant call to holiness and sanctification that is perfectly summed up in these words: grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Peter's epistle, he suggests that the only way to avoid falling in the Christian life is to advance. The only way to avoid falling is to advance. The only way to avoid slipping back is to go forward. Peter suggests that if you read the two epistles. The only way to avoid slipping back is to go forward. There is no such thing as being static in the Christian life. You cannot stay the same in the Christian life. Becoming a Christian means receiving a new life. Birth means coming to life. This new life, like all the other forms of life, should lead to growth. Think of a seed, a newborn baby. Within it, inherently, is the possibility of growth and development. Christians are different from non-Christians. He is born not just of flesh, but of the Spirit from above, as clearly taught by Jesus to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. When he's born in the Spirit, he's conscious of having received a new life. Christian is not a man who adds something to his life. He's utterly different. He has a different and a new order of life. Without this spiritual life, growth is something which is utterly impossible. The moment that we are regenerated or reborn, we will commence growth of true spiritual development. Although it's important to note that it is not mechanical or automatic. I remind you, growth is not mechanical or automatic. Some Christians believe that to show that they have indeed a new life, or indeed they are growing, that they have to add things to their life, such as fasting, prayer, reading the Bible, give alms, does good work. All those are wonderful things. But they feel the pressure of adding all these things into their life, into their new life. The problem with this is not the thing, what they do in itself, is that they're doing it mechanically. They do not know why they're doing it. They will have no more life at the end than at the beginning of it. By adding things to his life, adding merit to merit, but at the end there is still no life, and there's still no real growth. Hence, we must try, at least always try, to distinguish between the process of trying to add things on to life and a real growth to life. We must work out the distinction. Am I adding things to life, or is it a real growth in life? As I look back over the years, 10, 20, 30, or however long I've been in the Christian life, am I aware of some organic spiritual development or increase? Am I aware of it? Is there real growth in my Christian life? Some Christians may go from convention to convention, special service to special service, to search for the it factor, and hoping to receive the it, hoping something tremendous will take place and happen to them. They want to receive as many as possible, just as the way they received justification. But they failed to realize that even holiness and sanctification and all Christian characteristics and attributes need to be organic, grow and develop too. It just doesn't come by adding it on. The process of growth is of necessity a process which is progressive and it is gradual. Growth is never sudden, like holiness and sanctification. We cannot suddenly become holy and sanctified. It doesn't work like this. Growth is vital, but not a mechanical process. The whole of New Testament paints a picture of Christian as one of growth and development, such as the babes in Christ, it's mentioned, desiring milk or desiring solid food, etc. You heard all those. Growth is sometimes we do not know how. And you cannot mark off stages of growth. It takes place gradually, invisibly. Growth is sometimes that goes on throughout our entire Christian life in this world, until eventually we attain unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in that glorified life that awaits us beyond. In the meantime, while on earth, although we cannot observe directly growth, we are aware and we must be aware of it taking place, even though we cannot see it happening. Here I would say, growth is the sum total of our Christian duty. Growth expresses what you and I are called upon to do in this Christian life. Now I move on to the second word. The second word is grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9, Paul sums up the meaning of grace. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That is what grace is. And this is displayed by Jesus' life. There is nothing we can do to deserve this. Certainly there is nothing we can do to deserve it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John described Jesus in a wonderful way. He is full of grace. Jesus is full of grace. Reading the gospel in relation to Jesus' ministry, all Jesus' actions to the people flow from his grace, and he possessed them in full measure. If you go through every miracle, every kindness and every compassion that he expresses, they are just full of grace. Don't read the gospel of miracle just as they are, but realizing that behind this wonderful miracles, wonderful compassion, is Jesus' grace. They don't deserve it, but yet he gave it to them. The thought that Peter provoke us is we must grow in grace. That's a difficult question. It is a question that what is grace that I need to grow? What is grace that I need to grow? Peter said, grow in grace, in the grace. And what is the grace that I need to increase? Our first understanding is this. Christian is in the realm of grace. Once we are Christian, we are in the realm, in the kingdom of grace. But somehow, even within this realm, this kingdom, as we grow in life, everything about grace of Jesus Christ, as we learn in the Gospels, we learn and we grow in it. Grace, although first come from God, but as Christians grow in grace, he must surely display the grace of Jesus Christ in his life. Grace within us develop, expand, increase, and go forward. There's no boundary to it until you have the full measure of Jesus Christ. Being a Christian means we are the special object of God's favor and kindness. We receive in varying degrees and in varying amounts of God's favor. The more I live the Christian life, the more obedient I am to God, the more will I experience the favor of God. Furthermore, grace of Jesus Christ in me must manifest itself through my life in this world and with the people. Jesus says something very important. Everything he says is important, but this particular one is very important. He says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second most important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. This saying of Jesus sums up the meaning of grace. Whatever we have done is never enough or complete as demanded by these two commandments. There is always a further need to learn and do more. That is called grow in grace. Peter said, so live that you will experience that more and more and will enjoy your Christian life increasingly. As we grow in grace in Lord Jesus Christ, we are increasingly aware of the growth. Let us remind ourselves again. A Christian is not a man who adds a number of good deeds to his life. He's a man who has received the gift or the grace of a new life and is conscious of grace growing and developing in his life. Grow in grace means we must be more like God. We learn to know God better. We need to be personal, direct, and intense about Christian life. Christians have been so concerned about trying to make the world a better place through the gospel, that sometimes we cease to become better Christian men and Christian women ourselves. Are there methods how to grow in grace? For a start, we cannot produce growth. You and I cannot. We cannot make ourselves grow. But we can observe certain conditions which promote growth. This is called indirect rather than direct. There are certain conditions that lead to growth, that encourage growth, and that promote growth. Our Christian duty is to fulfill these conditions, and then the growth will look after itself. What are these conditions? What are these conditions that's essential to grow? As physical body, growth requires food, drink, and air. So is spiritual growth in a spiritual sense. What are the requirements? First of all, book, the Bible. The Bible is food for our soul. 1 Peter says, as newborn babes desire milk of the Word of God, that you may grow. Peter has been saying, if I do not feed on this book, well then I simply cannot grow. Neglecting the reading and the studying of the Bible do not lead to grow in grace. It won't. Prayer and meditation is communication with God and receiving instruction from Him. Attendance of preaching of God's Word and partaking in Lord's Supper, they are all part of the condition of growth. Reading Christian books, biographies of saints, history of church revival, so that our souls are fed with those wonderful things. Exercise. Putting into practice what I claim that I believe. In active Christian work, in evangelism, in the spreading of the gospel, etc. If we remain purely on intellectual level, then you cease to grow. Rest. We all know the importance of sleep and rest. In spirituality, we must learn to rest in the arms of God. Sometimes there are things that we cannot prove or understand. We need to cultivate rest and a quiet mind. This rest and quiet mind produce growth. Busyness does not mean growth. Discipline. Recognizing the conditions and be prepared to carry them out regularly is a sign of growth. Finally, if I want to grow, I must learn to avoid everything that is harmful to my spiritual life and a hindrance to my communication with God. It is for you to work out what those things are yourself. The third word I come to is the word knowledge. Peter said we are to grow in our knowledge of the truth. We should increase and grow in our knowledge concerning Jesus. Do not just stop at receiving salvation, receiving forgiveness, but more about understanding of God's scheme, His plan and His purpose of salvation. Do not just stop at personal forgiveness of sin, but study the whole picture. That is the meaning of growth in knowledge. Learn the doctrines of God. Go on so that I may grasp the knowledge concerning the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Because, after all, John chapter 1, again, which I'm referring now, say about Jesus, He is full of truth. Two words, grace and truth. He is full of truth. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, meaning my communion with Him, my sense of personal relationship with Him must increase. Paul said, I might know Him more and more. Christian is not left with a mere knowledge concerning Jesus Christ, a general knowledge. There is a vast knowledge of Christ that we need to explore and learn increasingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It is Paul's way of saying, I'm growing up spiritually. If I'm growing, I'm no longer a babe in Christ. A child is unstable, changeable, easily depressed, easily frightened, easily discouraged, and lacking the ability to discriminate. In Christian terms, he's easily panicky. Things happen and we begin to question the whole of our faith and our love for God. Are we prone sometimes to rush into every kind of new thoughts, new teachings, and any religious movements? A child loves all that. Entertainment, spectacular, excitement. A child is interested in experience. Of course, growth in knowledge can lead to a different kind of temptation. Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffed up. This is the pride of human character. More knowledge means I'm better informed, and my answer overrides anyone who knows less than I do. That is the danger of temptation, of being puffed up. Finally, the teaching of Peter in 2 Peter 3:18 summarizes a very important overriding principle and factor. And that is, grow in grace and in the knowledge of who? The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the focus of the growth is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All growth without our Lord Jesus Christ is not true growth. Everything in our Christian life must point to Jesus Christ. We are to learn from Him. We are to imitate Him. Peter has urged one Christian the importance of really grasping the truth. He impressed upon them the importance of a careful and reverent study of the Scriptures, so that they may not be led astray by the errors of the wicked, and so that their faith is steadfast and do not shake or falter. There is now left, finally, with a question. How does one determine whether one is growing? How do you determine whether you are growing? How does one measure growth in Christian life? Let me begin with the negatives. If anyone adheres to the doctrine of perfection and believing in maintaining that maximum standard, then no growth is not possible. You don't need to grow. If we compare ourselves with another Christian whom we know to be worse than ourselves, then we are not growing. If you keep comparing yourself. If I measure and count my growth in terms of activity, what I do, then I'm not grown as a Christian. Because I'm very concerned about how much. If I boast and show exhibitionism about my Christian life and work, then I'm not growing. If I spend the whole of my time in just contemplating myself and feeling my spiritual pulses and taking my spiritual temperature, then I'm not growing. If in testing myself, it leads me to morbidity and introspective, then I'm definitely not growing, because it makes me worse. So those are the negatives. So what are the positive steps of true measure of growth? All growth must be measured according and against the Word of God, the Bible. One can read the Bible so mechanically that one is never tested by it at all. Our self-examination is to look at our likeness of Jesus and our conformity to the kind of life he himself lived. Another thing positive, keeping our eyes on the glory of God and not ourselves. Our concern to grow in grace and knowledge is to do for the glory of God. Not that I might pride myself in my own glory. Any process of self-examination must begin and end by reminding myself that I'm justified by faith alone, only. Any idea of self-examination must start with the constant reminding ourselves that we are saved solely by the grace of our Lord Jesus, by God and in Jesus Christ. Any blemish must bring me back to the cross at Calvary. We live in a time of great confusion and of uncertainty. At a time of bustling activity, it is even more necessary to measure and to test ourselves in terms of this New Testament teaching than ever. The best test of growth is a man's attitude to God. Do I love God more than I did? Do I desire him more and more? There's no better test of growth than that a man desire God because he is God. There's no better test that I want to love him more and more. May the Lord bless you, and may his words mean something to you and make you contemplate and meditate upon your own life. All those questions, some of them may be unanswered, but it starts you thinking, starts you meditating. May the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.